You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. I am Greg Sussman, Matt preparing for Vegas. CP, what's up, man?
Yo, what's the deal, Greggy? How's everything going this morning, Mr. Sussman?
All well, man. All good. Nothing, no complaints. What about you?
And no complaints. Got a snow day going down here in the city, so it made the commute a little less difficult this morning because it wasn't a whole bunch of kids going to school and people
funny?
Was off of work.
Like, the snow day for you made your commute less difficult.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
It's crazy, right? So I was appreciative of that, so I feel good about that scenario right there. So we got that going down. So far, so good for the day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, your day's off to a good start. It should be a pretty... Yeah. I feel like it should be an easy day for you today.
It should be an easy day. Should be able to get out of here at a decent time. Today, Wednesday?
Yeah, easy day.
Should be able to get out of here at a decent time and get back uptown and get some good rest and get ready for the rest of the weekend.
There you go. So it should be good.
I don't have nothing planned. Oh, no, Nando got an auction this week. So I had auctioneer duties.
I'm in an auction with Nando, too, but you're not the auctioneer for the one I'm in.
No, I think this one is the morning time one.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I have a bunch of drafts this weekend. All of my BFFs. A lot of BFF time this
week. I don't have none.
You don't have no BFFs, is that you're saying?
No, I have BFFs.
Oh.
I don't have no drafts.
Yeah. No, I had a feeling. No football drafts?
I got one going on.
I've taken a lot of mock drafts. Do you like mock drafts? Do you believe in mock drafts? Do you think it's all BS?
As far as baseball goes?
No.
Mock drafts?
Like NFL mock drafts.
Oh, you're talking about, no, I don't.
Yeah.
No, unless you have mock drafts and they're like these evaluators and NFL insiders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you really want to truly see a mock draft, you know who you got to get to do one? You know who needs to get together and do a mock draft?
Who?
Agents. Because they probably have the most information
that
where people are going.
That would be really smart. We got to find an agent to just do that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's a good idea for your next show. you can have that idea.
Thank you. That one's
that
on
one's
you.
Free. That
Thank
one's
you,
free.
Greg. I appreciate that. That ain't the only thing that's going to be free.
Oh man.
What a company.
Awesome. I think that's actually a fantastic idea.
Yeah. If you get like Drew Rosenhaus or some of these powerful NFL
Not even.
Agents,
you could have the anonymous agent do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You have the anonymous agent do it. It doesn't even have to be Rosenhaus, right? Like, you had Kirk Cousins' agent who like also represented Bradford, maybe? Case Keenum. He represented Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins. And Josh McCown, I believe all three. So he knew what was going on. Like, if you had that guy, let's find out who's representing, like, Rosen and Darnold and Allen and Mayfield. If we can find out who's representing those guys.
Tom Condon,
probably?
Nah, you know, it's somebody that would have that information. He's been on our program. He's been on these programs before. Like, when you do legal battles with DFS and
stuff like that
was going down. What is his son's name? I can't think of his name. I got to figure it out. He's been on the show back on the Sirius XM days. No, I can't think. I'll figure it out. But he's a dude that tends to know. He publishes a list every year of the incoming college class
and
their agents.
So then we gotta get in contact with the agent and let him give us an anonymous mock draft, because that's the one. That's right. You're absolutely right, Corey. I got some other football news I want to talk to you about, particularly Zay Jones. I want you to help me break that down for me. So stick around. We are Fantasy Sports Today. It's Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Oh, I like that. That's a nice job of Vivona. Come on.
What happened?
This is a nice job of Vivona. This is the name of the song. This is Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm not sure if you knew that.
No, I'm not. I didn't know Red Hot Chili Peppers sang this joint. I couldn't really
tell
you.
The name of the song is Snow.
Oh, okay.
That was a good job, Vivona.
I agree. It was a great job.
Fantasy Factor, the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor, always this fun contest going on. This year, Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby. Sign up today and answer at fantasyfactor.com. How about that?
Fantasy Factor, get with them. Flatter prize pool, single entry contest. Did you know that?
Yeah, there you go.
You should know it.
Oh, I know. All right, well, let's get into this A. Jones a little bit.
All right.
Can you break this down for me, Corey?
It's a lot to unpack with this Zay Jones thing right here. So it's like three things that could possibly be going on. Obviously, the video comes out. We see the TMZ video, read the story. Zay Jones naked in the hallway in an apartment building, scuffling with his brother. But it doesn't look like his brother was trying to restrain him or something like that. It looks like he was more going after the brother. So it's like, okay, well, what's the situation? What's really going on here? Then you see the blood smears. Obviously, I think he had kicked a window or punched a window, a glass window or something like that. He screamed at one point and, you know, he was arrested and taken to jail. Now, very scary situation right here. Normally, this is something when I first saw this, I was like, okay, this is going to be funny.
Right, you're going to sit there and you're going to laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
When that dude was like running around the field naked.
Yeah, you think it was like, okay, but now when you think about it and you look at it a little bit deeper. So, here's the thing about it, right? Like, it's either a bad trip on drugs.
Well, yeah, that was my first reaction. Like, this dude's clearly on shrooms.
Yeah.
And he had a bad trip, and he was freaking out, and that's what happened. That was my immediate reaction.
Yeah. So that's your immediate reaction. Now, with that being said, that's one case. And to be honest, you kind of do hope that that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
And then this way, they can figure it out, they can get past it, and Zay Jones have this stain on his career, because people, when you run around naked, nobody's really going to forget. You feel what I'm saying? Ever. You know, the teammates, people in the NFL and stuff like that. So maybe he was having a bad trip. But that's the best case scenario. Secondly, it could be mental illness. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And if his mental illness is something that he's been dealing with, will always deal with, and that makes a very difficult situation right there, and that definitely is no laughing matter if it is a mental illness. So that could be the situation that Zay Jones is going through also, whose real name is Isaiah Jones, if you didn't know. Now, with that being said, yeah, it's Isaiah Jones.
Thank you.
With that being said, you know, if that's the case, it seems like Sean McDermott is not the type of guy to be like, okay, I'm cutting your ass, get out of here, and stuff like that. He seemed like the kind of head coach that was willing to work with the player and get him the right treatment and get him help and, you know, and get him back to where he needs to be mentally so he can continue his career as an NFL player. Hopefully, you know, the city of Buffalo didn't do this to him.
Yeah.
You know, it probably happened before that. Hopefully nobody put him through a table. And then finally, the third thing is, and this would really be tragic if this was the case right here, I would hate it if somebody this young in their football playing career is already suffering from CTE.
Yeah.
So
coming over to the slot, like Zay Jones did, you know, it's a prime spot to have the CTE in a way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know what I'm saying? Especially what he does in the middle of the field, wide receiver, big guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Been playing football for a long time. You're seeing these cases of CTE get younger and younger. We've seen kids start to show up with this stuff, spots on their brain in high school, and definitely on the collegiate level. Obviously, you know, in the NFL, even though the young man's only played 1 year. So it's a lot to unpack here with Isaiah Jones, and I feel as if you know, the best case scenario, the sad to say this, is this is a bad, it was a bad trip on drugs. You feel what I mean? So,
yeah.
That was the Isaiah Jones situation. No laughing matter right here, Greggy. So, I don't know what to say about it. I guess, you know, the Buffalo Bills have been made aware of the situation. And I think Jones may still be incarcerated right now. But hopefully they're getting him help for whatever the case is.
Yeah, I hope so, too. As I said, my first reaction was shrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Was that he had a bad trip and his mind was not in the right place.
And that synthetic marijuana does that to people, too.
Does it as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you just had too much of it, and it just didn't, or it was a bad wax. You know, I mean, that happens, obviously. Just a bad batch, essentially.
Yeah.
And hopefully they throw him in the slammer, and he just
sobers up. Yeah.
Exactly. And you deal with the consequences after that, but you sober up, and the most important thing is that he's fine. Right?
Yeah, no doubt.
I thought it was interesting. Not that I wanted to bring wrestling into it, but I think it's interesting because we talked about this yesterday off the air, and you brought up CTE, and the wrestler Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan in WWE, was concussed more times than you can count, right? Like before you get to WWE, for instance,
the amateur level,
you have to make money for your family, right?
Yeah.
So these guys who are independent contractors, they're getting concussed and wrestling the next night.
Yeah.
And it's the same way in high school football. You don't have these type of doctors and trainers and whatnot.
Dr. A's come on the program and say they can track the athletes and their concussions. Mostly now back to the collegiate level, but you don't know how many you got these kids. Like, I watch stuff like Friday Night Lights what's the other one? Well, some of these programs, you know what I'm saying, but they show these players, these kids playing in youth football, but they really have no doctors out there. You know, they have like a physical trainer or something like that. And you got a lot of these kids nowadays.
Last chance.
Coach Snoop. Mm-hmm. Where you got these kids, they're having concussions at 9 and 10 years old.
Totally.
So you never know. He could be 6-7 concussions deep right now.
Absolutely. So you have that, and it applies to wrestling as well. So Bryan Danielson gets to WWE, he achieves his goal, and he gets concussed a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where they're like, dude, we can't clear you anymore.
Yeah, no doubt. And he was very, very popular.
Extremely popular, both merchandise. I mean, the Yes Chant transcended into real sports. We know people doing it at Michigan State and like the Islanders and whatnot. So he forced him to retire. And he went to doctors all around the country. Like, man, dude, you're fine. And the WWE doctors, Dr. Joseph Maroon, who's the concussion guy from Concussion, who like missed this whole thing, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
He's now ultra conservative with it, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. His lawsuit's tearing his ass up.
So they said, I'm not clearing you. And for like the last year or so, he's basically like slept in like a hyperbaric chamber, like from his brain, and saw a specialist, internationally, and then back here, and ultimately sleeping in this hyperbaric chamber. I don't know if it cured him of CTE, but it got him cleared, ultimately, 3 years or 4 years after he was initially diagnosed.
Now, Jarvett Best, I believe, sleeps in one of those things. Mm-hmm. I think still now Jarvett Best sleeps in one of those. I saw somebody's Instagram, was an athlete. I can't remember exactly what it was, a football player, where he was in the house with his family and all the lights were off because he could not take it. You know, what's the dude that's on ESPN?
Yeah.
Merrill Hodge, yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in studio, they have to shut the lights off for him.
They have
to lower the lights in studio. Mm-hmm. So these concussions, they have a ton of effect. But what you don't see is somebody, you know, we just, especially in our community as fantasy sports people, we're just really beginning to be familiar with Isaiah Jones. And we don't know. You feel what I'm saying? We don't know. So, as crazy as this may sound, you hope it's a bad trip. You feel what I'm saying?
100%. You hope it's a bad trip. You hope there's not something significantly wrong with his brain.
Yeah.
And that's really, really scary.
He's lucky his brother was there.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times that, almost this time last year, right? Like Patrick Willis is retired, and you had a bunch of other guys retire because they did not want this happening to them. And I thought it was really, really interesting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's probably one of the things that the NFL is trying to work on and figure out the most, because people are not going to want their kids to play. And obviously,
it's going
to become a sport. It's going to become like boxing, where it's a no way out type of sport.
Sure. Now, when it comes to the NFL and whatnot and safety, I think it does make sense now to bring up that other football league that was announced yesterday while you were doing the OT.
Yeah.
Charlie Ebersole. Dick Ebersole's sons, or Dick Ebersole, who ran NBC Sports for years, teamed with Vince McMahon to create the original XFL.
Yep.
And they did the documentary on it, and it was produced by Dick's son, Charlie Ebersole. So Vince McMahon, a couple months ago, announces the XFL is back, and then Charlie Ebersole, along with some of Dick Ebersole's money, Bill Polian money, Troy Polamalu, some of these names you mentioned yesterday, they announced another football league that's already has a broadcast home with CBS after the Super Bowl next year. Which is very interesting. CBS would get in bed with another football league. That really surprised me.
Yeah.
And they said, listen, we know we're going to lose money years one, year two, but this is a 7 to 10 year plan here before we start making money. And they have this idea. There's no kickoffs. There's no extra points. And they have other ideas as well, how to make it safer and yet more exciting. So I know you guys talked about that yesterday, and Jake was very against it, how no other football league will make money and whatnot.
Because he says the level of competition. But I think when it really depends. When the product is not going to be the NFL, obviously. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
So can the product be the SEC?
And if it's the SEC, I think that's okay.
Exactly. If the product is the SEC, that's fine.
Right.
Because that's still a high level of competitive football right there.
Absolutely.
That's very entertaining.
Sure.
Now, if it's the Mountain Sky, then you're like, you know, the Big West, then you're like, wins the championship, wins the playoffs, you know.
Yeah,
so these leagues are going to need superstar athletes. Now, they're not going to come out, they're not going to come right into the league being superstar athletes. They have to be developed, the brand and the marketing and stuff like that around them. Because if you're a superstar athlete, in college, then you're gonna go to the NFL. So it is going to be hard.
That's not always true, right? Like, we've seen plenty of guys that are superstars in college not making the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. That's true too. You know, so maybe this is the place where Tim Tebow can be a quarterback.
100%, and people would watch that, obviously.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. Let's continue talking about football. But let's talk about it from an actual off-field perspective because Allen Hurns is a hot free agent. We'll break it down next.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Do you love watching your fantasy player score a winning touchdown? Now imagine you actually got to call that touchdown play. The Fan Control Football League is putting play calling in the hands of fans with real professional football players running the action. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome inside Studio 34. This is Corey Parson. We are joined now by the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
What's going on, Greg?
Not much, man. Not much. Happy to have you aboard. Of course, today we just got into Zay Jones here a little bit. And I wanted to get back on the field, though, because we talked a lot about stuff off the field. And I want to get back to what's on the field.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So, Allen Hurns. Released by the Jags, and we said yesterday, Corey, off the air, we were talking about it. Like, all right, cool. Makes sense, right? You have Marquise Lee, you signed Dante Moncrief, you got Keelan Cole, you got
Dede
Westbrook. Like, that's pretty good foursome, right? It's pretty solid. You're young. They
none
don't cost
of them better than Allen Robinson, but
none
yeah.
Of them agreed, but relatively cheap for all these guys.
Yeah.
All right, fine. So they cut Allen Hurns, which makes sense. He signed a four-year extension 2 years ago, last 2 years, fine. Undrafted, out of the U, and I like Allen Hurns. I do. Good red zone target.
Allen Hurns went to the U.
Yeah. Good red zone target. Reliable when he's healthy. But, Jake, I see this thing. 10 teams are interested in Allen Hurns. Like, I get it. It's obviously from the agent. But, like, Allen Hurns, like, literally tweeted out the teams that contacted him. Are you surprised this many teams are interested in Allen Hurns?
No, because Allen Hurts is a solid talent. And he's going to be an upgrade to a lot of teams, most notably probably Corey's Cowboys. You look at what Allen Hurns brings. He's not a complete wide receiver, but he can be a number two for most teams out there that need him.
Corey?
Yeah, no, and I think Jake is correct on that. He's a solid number two wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? We've seen he does have a knack for the goal line. I don't really think that was an accident or a mistake or something that was in that offense. I think the kid knows how to score. So he's got a good football pedigree, lines up straight as a solid number two wide receiver. And I think Hurns is I think Dallas is probably more than likely to fit here. I figured it would be a guy like Hurns or Dante Moncrief,
yeah,
rather than one of those big wide receivers. They lied last week and said that they were in on Sammy Watkins. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe that either. I think this actually makes a lot of sense for the Cowboys. Less sense for the Jets, in all honesty, and some of these other teams. Like the Cowboys, you have said it all since really last November. They obviously need another wide receiver, the Cowboys.
Yeah,
right.
They need somebody that can take some of this pressure off Dez Bryant. Now, I don't know if Allen Hurns can do that. It's not so much even taking the pressure off of Dez. It's the fact that they need another option outside of Dez Bryant that can go out there and make some plays. Bryce Butler looked like he could be that guy. Bryce Butler has a problem staying on the field, though.
But I was about to say, you are the huge Bryce Butler guy, and while he hasn't been able to stay on the field, like, he is talented.
Yes, Bryce Butler is extremely talented. Hopefully he's back with Dallas.
Is Terrence Williams still with this team?
Terrence Williams is still with the team. The problem with Terrence Williams is, and Terrence Williams, is, I've said this many times, Terrence Williams is one of those dudes that's better in the locker room than he is on the field. And you may say that, think that's crazy, but the bottom line about that is, those type of players are still needed. They're still valuable to teams.
Absolutely. I think we saw that in particular, like New York, right? Where you traded for an Alec Ogletree, like overpaid to get Alec Ogletree, who's supposedly a good guy in the locker room. You basically bring in Jonathan Stewart, who's a good guy in the locker room, the whole deal. Instead of some of these malcontents that you had along the offensive line, and I guess that's what Terrence Williams is for.
And not only that, not only is Terrence Williams, not only is he that, you also look at the fact of Williams is a guy that he does make big plays. He's a good run blocking wide receiver. The things that we really don't look at in fantasy, Terrence Williams is good, is good at that. You feel what I'm saying?
That's
those
fair.
Players are important to the team also. I would not be surprised if that is one of the reasons why Jordy Nelson was brought into Oakland, is because how y'all doing? The paparazzi. How y'all doing?
Pictures. Let's smile for the pictures.
Let's smile. There you
yeah,
go.
There, yeah, there you go.
The, never
Flash.
Mind. Right. I don't like pictures because you never know who's taking them. So another thing is, that might be why Jordy Nelson was born into Oakland, to be a mentor to Amari Cooper.
That's possible too. Speaking of Oakland, I wondered, and I want to ask this to you, Jake.
I'm on Alan Hearns' Instagram. This is his mother.
Let me see that computer. Just move the computer over so I can see it.
That's his mom.
That's his mother?
That's crazy.
Is she your age? She's about your age.
She looks like she's 26. Oh my goodness. Go ahead.
All right. We're speaking of Oakland, where Jordy Nelson is. And Jake, I wanted to throw this at you because I've struggled to try to figure out what the hell Oakland's doing besides trying to rebuild the 2008 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Like, you bring in Doug Martin when you already have Marshawn Lynch. And Josh Johnson they bring in, who like hasn't had a snap since John Gruden played in the NFL. You bring in Jordy Nelson. They're bringing in Ndamukong Suh. You're bringing in Eric Decker, right? Corey, what is Oakland doing?
I don't know. I trust Gruden. I think Gruden got a plan. I trust Gruden. I think Gruden got a plan. So I feel as if Gruden is going to be able to get it done. We look at the pieces and we're like, this is interesting. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know if they're cutting money, but I really feel like Gruden has the right idea. And I think by the time, you know, he gets a chance to talk to the players, gets in front of the media at around training camp, I think we'll all try to see it come together.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. Like, let's start running back. Your running backs are Doug Martin and Marshawn Lynch. Like, what do we do from a fantasy perspective there?
Nothing. Stay away from
Stay
it.
Stay away from it.
Okay. Stay away from it.
At wide receiver, you have Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson. What do you do there?
You go.
And maybe Eric Decker, because they're looking inside Eric Decker.
You go Amari Cooper.
You're doing this again?
Yeah, I'm doing it again. I really don't care. Who likes it, who don't like it.
So you're doing the Amari Cooper thing. Where are you doing the Amari Cooper thing?
I probably do it in the third round. I don't even need a discount.
This is crazy. I
don't even need a discount.
That's wild. That's wild. I cannot believe you're getting right back into this. That's how much you trust John Gruden.
I trust John Gruden. I trust Amari Cooper's talent. You feel what I'm saying? I think he's going to end up. Listen, Amari Cooper can finish top 10 easily. That's the kind of talent he has. And I think Gruden is going to get the offense rolling. I mean, listen, Jake is going to disagree when he comes back on.
Sure.
You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to stand by this thing with Amari Cooper and see it to the end.
Do you trust Derek Carr?
I have less trust in Derek Carr than I do the rest.
So how can you trust Amari Cooper and not trust Derek Carr?
Because Amari Cooper is just extremely talented.
So what happened
and
over the last couple
very,
of years?
He's young, he's 23 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, and he's younger. Him and Sammy Watkins are younger than the dudes that are coming out of college.
Exactly. So, yeah, it takes a little while to develop. And it's not like he's been terrible.
Sure.
He had a bad season. The first 2 years, weren't that bad.
No.
The first 2 years, he was putting up close to wide receiver one numbers.
But this year?
This year was the whole team was a disaster this year.
Disaster.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, you clean house with Del Rio. Reggie McKenzie, obviously, still there. In 14 games for
Reggie
Oakland
McKenzie
this year,
got freckles.
680 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns. Actually had a career high in touchdowns in 2017.
Yeah. It's not bad. The yardage is ridiculous. But I can get down with that situation with one of Mr. Amari Cooper.
I look at Oakland, and then you bring in Ndamukong Suh. Like, that's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I don't know why they went and did that, but...
Well, it's not officially they're having him in for an interview.
I mean, Suh can play.
Yeah, but
for a while, he was one of the best defenders in the league.
You can make a case he's still like one of the best defensive tackles in the league, but...
He kind of fits that Raider thing.
Exactly.
He fits that Raider
100%.
Thing. 100%. Nasty player, you feel what I'm saying?
Like Albert Haynesworth, too.
Oh, God. Howard Haynesworth was horrible.
Horrible.
He had like two good seasons, and then he got paid.
So he was a nutcase. Then like he turned his act around 1 year because he was going to get paid.
Yep.
Then he got paid. Then he was a nutcase again.
Yo, remember when he was in D.C. and he laid on the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah, he laid on the floor. Like, he didn't get up to chase the, he didn't get up to chase the running back. He just laid there.
I'm good.
He was too rich. He was too, he had too much money. He was like, nah, I'm not getting hurt. I'm chilling.
Wild, man. But you know what? Got paid.
He did get paid. Shout out to Albert Haynesworth.
He got paid.
I've met Albert Haynesworth before.
What'd you think?
Football player.
Yeah. Nothing special?
Nothing special.
Nothing exciting?
Mm-mm. Football player, that's it.
Just a football player.
Just a football player with a lot of money.
Someone that got less money than he should have, Ryan Grant, no longer in Baltimore, went to the Colts to have signed a 1-year, $5 million deal.
I was saying yesterday how ironic. The dude that got spurned by the Ravens, who got dissed by the Ravens from Michael Crabtree, goes to the team that got dissed by Josh McDaniels.
It's true.
Yes. So they knew where he was coming from. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
So they felt that, and they was like, you know what, let's go pick him up because we've been through this. But I think Ryan Grant, a decent replacement for Dante Moncrief.
Yeah,
I think Moncrief's a better player than that, though.
Yeah, probably.
So the nice piece for Andrew Luck. I'll dollar make you holler late in August. You feel what I'm saying?
All right, Jake, let me throw it to you. Let's go back to the Raiders here now for a moment. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell the Raiders are doing.
Just trying to recreate a 1998 team like he said he was going to do.
It's ridiculous, man. Like, Doug Martin to Marshawn Lynch. Corey says basically just stay away. Do you agree?
I'm not going to stay away from Amari Cooper unless it's going to get... Here's the problem is we know what Amari Cooper is. Nobody wanted to believe me. Corey knows that I kept calling him the JV Brandon Cooks and nobody wanted to believe me and down the road. And we saw exactly that's what he was. And finally, everybody's on that page. But the problem is they bring in John Gruden, the QB whisperer and all that type of stuff. And I have a feeling his value is going to get inflated again and people are going to start drafting him as a fringe wide receiver one again. If you want to give him to me as a wide receiver two, a mid-late wide receiver two, absolutely. I'll do that all the time. But and then you look like that probably could have happened next year until they added Gruden. So Carr is going to get overdrafted. Cooper's going to get overdrafted. People are going to overdraft Jordy Nelson on the touchdown upside, all that type of stuff. But yeah, I'm pretty much staying away from this entire team as much as possible.
He asked about the running backs. You leaving them alone too, right? Lynch and Martin and Richard and all that. Every time I hear the black dude with the French name, it tickles me. Richard.
But Doug Martin with two out of six good seasons and four terrible ones, and Marshawn Lynch, who looked like a shell of his former self. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the place to go to find a running back. It's not the Oakland Raiders. I don't care what John Gruden says.
I'm also not buying the Raiders at all. Like, I'm not You're buying the Gruden Renaissance.
I can feel you, but like I'm going to go back on Cooper. I'm going to go back on Cooper, full disclosure. You feel what I'm saying?
Because you're crazy. Just like the rest of them.
I am. I'm going to have him that season when he do break out, though. He might be 33. In his final NFL season.
That sounds like Sammy Watkins, too.
Listen, I'm going to have more than one team, so we'll figure it out.
I can't wait to hear wide receivers or Sammy Watkins.
This is
Watkins,
what we do. Hey, did you see this video? Yeah, how we do. Did you see the video of the Giants at that wedding partying?
No.
I didn't need to find out who wedding that was. The Giants was turned up at this wedding. You should see.
I like that. Let's take a break. More from the All-In Kid and Corey and I right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
I really, every time we hear this, think of Scott. You know that. I wouldn't. What are you saying?
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay.
I think I found who the culprit is. So.
Were you gonna say that on the air?
Yeah, I think this is you know better than I do because I'm not sure what the young man exactly looks like.
Okay.
But I know he plays. I know he's a New York athlete, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is one Mr. Sterling Shepard.
Oh, he did just get married.
Sterling Shepard did just get married. Is that Sterling Shepard?
That is definitely Sterling Shepard.
So that was Sterling Shepard's wedding that the Giants were turning up at.
Well, that's nice.
Yes,
turning up for their boy.
Yeah, I wish they would have invited me. It looked like they had a blast.
You didn't want to be around the Giants.
This is true too. You're absolutely 100% correct.
Yes. By the way, you can dominate DraftKings and FanDuel Major League Baseball contest this summer with Daily Roto's MLB Projections and Optimizer. Go to dailyroto.com/premium, save 10% off with promo code FNCSY to use all the same tools and projections that Millionaire Maker winner Drew Dickmeyer uses. And the tools don't just work for football. This is the same site that Drew used last year for his top $150,000 DraftKings Live Final finish. Head on over to dailyroto.com/premium, save 10% off with the promo code FNCSY. And see the results for yourself. All right, I gotta bring up some baseball news now because Alex Cobb signed a 4-year deal worth about $50 million. Jake, I think the best question I have is how, right? Like, everybody gets underpaid in this horrible free agent market. Lance Lynn signs for like 1 year and $12 million, but Alex Cobb somehow winds up with 4 for $50. Like, basically, this entire thing that he wanted the entire time, he got. And the Orioles are never really in on anybody until, like, the very, very end, because no one could pass a physical. By the way, I just got a text from the King. Mm. And he says, I'm listening to you guys, and I heard that song, and don't worry, I was grooving.
There you go, right?
That was awesome, Scott.
Shout out to the King.
That was awesome.
And that horrible batting cage performance of his.
now that Corey knows you're listening, Scotty.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jake, Alex Cobb somehow makes his 4-year, $50 million. How? Why? I'm shocked.
Because the Orioles are desperate. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. The fact is he turned down 3 years, 48 from the Cubs, which seemed like, God, how stupid are you? This kind of market and the fact that your questions coming off your injury, coming off a year where you were decent. But, you know, we talked about this during Roto Experts, and I don't get it. The best GIF I saw yesterday was somebody who put up a GIF of Lance Lynn throwing his arms up in the air and turning around in disgust. And like, that's the best response. It's like, not only do you have this contract, but I'm sure Lance Lynn is sitting at home going, what the hell? Like, could I at least gotten half of that? And so I'm with you. We talked about it just in fantasy purposes in general that I would prefer Lance Lynn. Chris slightly prefers Lance Lynn. Scott actually likes Alex Cobb. I'm not a huge Alex Cobb fan. I think you looked at the fact that both Lynn and him were a little bit lucky last year, but Alex Cobb has just never been somebody that brings the strikeouts that I see the real fantasy appeal. I think if you look at it, it's kind of like the Aaron Sanchez, where you hope he gets the ERA and whip because it's not going to be the strikeouts that helps you. So there are pitchers like that in fantasy, and they can help you. I've never been that big a fan because he's pitching half his games in Camden Yards. He didn't get out of that division, and Chris brought up the point that he's been hammered by the Red Sox and the Yankees when on the road in that ballpark. So he's stayed in the division. He goes to a worse ballpark, a much worse ballpark when you compare Tampa Bay to Baltimore. I'm not a fan of this. Kudos to him for getting the money, but from a fantasy outlook, I wasn't that high on Cobb to begin with, and this actually doesn't make me feel any better.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I look at Alex Cobb, and maybe it's just like a preconceived notion, but like, Alex Cobb isn't that good. Like, you laid out all the points like very like detailed and smartly, and I'll just lay it out in layman's terms, Jake. Alex Cobb is just not very good. And maybe it's because I look at all these Rays pitchers and the same, outside of David Price and outside of Chris Archer and whatnot. But like Matt Moore, Jake Odorizzi, Alex Cobb, they're all like kind of not good. You know what I mean? Like the Orioles just spent $50 million on this guy. What is he? He's not an ace. He's not a number two. You're looking at best a number three starter.
Yeah, but look at their rotation.
Oh, I get it. They were desperate. I get it. You're absolutely right. They're desperate, but there are better guys in the market. Lance Lynn at 1 year, $12 million is a better signing than Alex Cobb.
Well, Alex Cobb at the, 4 years, 50 or 60 million or whatever it was. So, that's the biggest difference right there. But, yeah, they definitely missed out on other opportunities from the pitchers that went earlier. I mean, hell, bring back Jake Arrieta. I don't get it. I don't get the money invested. I also don't get it for this team in general. I mean, just like, let's not even talk fantasy. Let's talk about the Orioles here for a second.
Sure.
You're not a contender. Like Alex Cobb as your number three, number four starter, you know, if the Astros or the Dodgers or somebody like that signed him, or even the Nationals, I'd be like, all right, whatever. That makes sense. It's better than most people have at their 4 or 5 spot in the rotation. But for the Orioles, this isn't going to turn you into a contender, because even if you signed Arrieta and Cobb and half the free agents that were out there, you still weren't going to be a contender. So I really just don't understand this from a baseball perspective either.
Corey, let me ask you this from a player's mind, right? So,
because I'm a player.
Well, you're close enough.
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. I mean, you're Lance Lynn, right? Like, you got to fire your agent ASAP. Because Alex Cobb's got $50 million.
Yeah, you gotta figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Agents got to be able to know the market a little bit better than that. Know what teams are going to be team needs and stuff like that, and be able to put his client in the best position to get the most money and to succeed. So I think that's a horrible job on that agent's behalf.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. I get it. The Orioles stink, and I think the Orioles have no idea what they're doing. And Buck Showalter and Dan Duquette, like we just talked about John Gruden, right, living in 2008 or 1998. That's the same thing Buck Showalter and Dan Duquette are doing. Like the same team, they don't improve. They don't know how to improve. They just continue to be terrible, Jake.
Yeah, that's just what this is. Like you said, this is what they just keep doing over and over again, and they don't seem to learn.
No, they absolutely do not. And it's weird, man. It's gross. I will not be going. Well, let me ask this. When it comes to your fantasy baseball rankings, where does this put Alex Cobb in your starting pitchers?
I could tell you by looking at it, if you give me a second.
Yeah. Take your time.
Take your time.
Absolutely.
We got nothing better to do.
It's that time of year.
I got plenty of over-unders.
As a matter of fact, here, let me move over for my graphic on the screen. Is if you go to the Roto Expert exclusive edge package, there you go. You can sign up. Well, only kid.
Ding.
Gets 10% off.
If you're saying use FNTSY for 10% off, right?
Or is all I just said all kid.
Use all in.
Oh, I know all in kid was also promo code.
They may get Jake a kickback for that.
No.
Oh, use all in kid.
Hey, well, he know the truth.
Use the promo code all in kid.
The point was, is I just updated all of my hitters and pitchers yesterday, so they are fresh. Fresh 2018 fantasy baseball rankings. Alex Cobb is 75th at pitchers. I would take Corbin, Feria, Mikolas, Peacock, Estrada, and you just could go up the list.
You named some terrible pitchers just now.
I'm not. I told you, I'm not an Alex Cobb fan, and I'm ranking by. Look, I have him for a 4.13 ERA, a 1.3 WHIP. People will probably argue that the WHIP is too high. I don't have a lot of confidence. I think the WHIP last year was a little bit favorable and lucky, as Scott brought up it, but he also made the point that Lynn was a little bit lucky too. I'm more in support of Lynn over his career than what we've seen from Cobb. But the biggest thing is, I have Alex Cobb for 147 innings, which is pretty aggressive considering what he's doing. But only 118 strikeouts because he doesn't strike anybody out.
Yeah, it's true. In the AL East again, I wouldn't touch Alex Cobb. Like I literally wouldn't touch
him. Best case scenario is a poor man's Kyle Hendricks. That's what you're hoping for.
Let me see where I have Alex Cobb here. All right, I have Alex Cobb because I got rankings now, Jake. By the way, did you know that?
Corey? Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Florio sent me his rankings. And I've now made them my rankings.
Nice, good job. Okay.
Like, well, I make adjustments. I'm just saying. I don't have like numbers. I just have tiers. So I have ahead of Alex Cobb players like Michael Wacha, Danny Duffy, Jordan Montgomery, Taijuan Walker, and Kevin Gausman.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, as you can say, I have all those guys way ahead of him.
Oh,
I mean,
perfect.
Gausman and Walker are around 60 for me. So
okay. Yeah,
we have got close to Alex Cobb at that point.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Do you have the guys we talked about yesterday, Sean Newcomb, Jake Junis, are they ahead of Alex Cobb?
No, absolutely. Right. Sean Newcomb, I'm a huge Newcomb supporter. I don't know why more. Like, we actually discussed that in the Roto Experts. I don't know why more people are just ignoring Newcomb. So Newcomb and then Junis, I actually have. Where is Junis? Junis is 64.
You did move him up after yesterday because he was like 86 yesterday.
He was going to move up. Yeah. Definitely was going to move up.
All right. So yeah, I would
Lucas Giolito over him.
So you brought up. I'm really glad you brought up Lucas Giolito.
Hold on. I want to bring up one more. We'll go to Giolito, but draft Joe Musgrove.
No. Does Jake know this yet? Does Jake know this yet?
You know? Do you know? You know about Mr. Sussman and Joe Musgrove?
No, I obviously don't. I still don't.
Let's keep it that way. Let's keep it that way, indeed. I'm glad you brought up Lucas Giolito, though, Jake, because I wanted to bring that up myself. Because Giolito is a prospect that Corey knew about, right? Like,
yeah, I did know. I do know him.
I know you do. He's a former National. That's your Nationals.
Yep.
So he goes over for the Nationals, goes over to the White Sox, and he was probably this time last year, arguably the top pitching prospect in baseball. That's how good Lucas Giolito could have been. And he struggled in the minors last year, struggled in the majors last year, and now here we are in 2018, and nobody's talking about Lucas Giolito. Is that a mistake?
I think it's definitely a mistake. It's actually very much like Sean Newcomb. Sean Newcomb was one of the top prospects in baseball. He struggles a lot more with walks than Giolito does, but both these guys are, it's the post-hype sleepers. It's whatever you want to call it. Last year's trash, as Corey loves to call it. But at the same time, I think it's more of the post-hype sleepers. Everybody got excited about them. They failed a little bit at their first opportunity, and people just wrote them off and said, ah, forget it. There's no chance. They're moving on. And the biggest thing for both of them, I think Newcomb a little bit more because, like I said, he's been overlooked by Acuna and Albies on the same team. Everybody's focused on them and forgetting about him. With Giolito, I don't get it because there's not much else to look at on this team. And if Giolito, as you said, was one of the top prospects, it was, you weren't getting him away from the Nationals. They weren't including him in any deal. And then it finally happened where they made that trade with Eaton, and it was actually a surprise to a lot of people. Struggled mightily, but if you look down the stretch and if you look at what he's done so far in the spring, he's finally starting to put it together and be the prospect that everybody said. I mean, when he was in that World versus USA, the minor league game or the All-Star break, it was like, oh my God, look at Lucas Giolito. And I think that people have forgotten that already.
Yeah, 100%. So I guess when we come back, I want to talk about what Giolito can be, like how, and not desperate, but how important it is that fantasy owners go out and get a Lucas Giolito. How good can he be? Could he be that ace the White Sox thought they were getting? Let's talk about Lucas Giolito a little bit more and let that lead to Michael Kopech a bit too when we come back here on FST on FNTSY.
Call there.
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at DKMS.org, and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
As Jake said a few moments ago, RotoExperts.com exclusive edge package available right now. Use the promo code ALLINKID. Get 10% off. Get Jake's rankings. Get Florio's rankings. Does Florio have a code too, Jake?
No, I don't think so. I think it's only Scott and myself.
All right. Well, if Florio had a code, I'd give that out as well. But I'm looking at Florio's point league ranking score. They're good.
You think so?
Sure.
No, I'm down with it.
Getting him some pub. Every time somebody asks me about points leagues, I always defer to Florio and bounce them off him on Twitter, trying to get Florio some help.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm looking at his rankings right now. They seem good. I hope so. I will be using them. By the way, speaking of the BFFs and point leagues, we'll be taking part in a point league mock draft today, Corey, the BFFs.
Oh, okay, on the show.
CBS. No, it's just CBS. Call the BFFs. Like, we want you in our mock draft.
Oh, really? Well, cool. That's what's up.
Kind of like that. That's how it
works. So the three of y'all... all going as a unit.
We're a unit.
I see that the BFFs stick together, so the BFFs have become like a trio.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
I love it. I love it.
You respect it?
I love it. I respect it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe CBS assigned the BFFs.
Sure.
I'm rooting for you.
I know you are.
You know I am.
Yeah, I know you are. Jake, before we went to break, we were just talking about Lucas Giolito and just how good he could be. And you said people stop paying attention to him. And if you dive a little bit deeper, he wasn't that bad. And he's pretty good. And he's going to be in this rotation. What can we expect? Like, what are your projections for Lucas Giolito?
Got him for 3.98 ERA, 129 whip, and 143 strikeouts. All not even that great, just all reasonable. Yeah. And that puts him at his pitcher 57, honestly.
Wow.
If he puts him to a skill set of what he could be, I mean, we're talking about somebody who has the talent to be a top 35 pitcher.
For sure. That's really interesting because you were not, that is extremely conservative, right? Like, he's in the top 60 for the 4 ERA, 1.3 whip, 140 strikeouts, like nothing crazy at all.
No, the names he's with, though, I mean, you're right around him. We're talking about Jay Happ, Michael Fulmer, Chase Anderson, Clevinger, Denelson Lamet, Joe Musgrove, you know, Dylan Bundy. I mean, the names that he's with, you know, nobody's putting them with those names.
No, absolutely not. Like, people really, really like Jay Happ a lot. I know that. I like Mike Clevinger a lot. So I'm surprised to see him with those kind of names, for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. The newest toy in Chicago, not newest toy, but like kind of like this year's Giolito, is Michael Kopech, right? Like, people absolutely are in love with Michael Kopech. Is he worth drafting this year? Is he going to make an impact in 2018?
Not now. And now he's not worth drafting unless you're in a deep league. Obviously, drafting holds like Matt plays all the time is a completely different story. But if you're a typical 12-team, 26th round, probably not, because he looked miserable in spring. And the biggest thing is, people make the joke all the time, but the fact is the guy does throw 100. And just the best comparison is Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn from the movies in Major League. The guy, he's just all over the place. And when he was hitting the strike zone, because he's all over the place, then he could just sit back on that. See, here's the thing is, not everybody who throws 100 miles an hour is going to be Syndergaard, because the biggest thing here is you have to have other pitches and control of those pitches. Otherwise, the thing that it's not the 100 miles an hour that screws people up. It's the 100 miles an hour when you have to be prepared for that pitch and everything else. If you can sit back on Kopech and just wait for him to hit the strike zone with the 100 mile an hour fastball, major league hitters are going to hit it, and they were hitting it in spring. The fact is, all his other pitches are never called for strikes because they're never hitting the strike zone, and that's his biggest problem. If he can get more control, he could potentially become a Syndergaard. I still think that's a little higher than he'll ever be in his career, but this is looking like somebody that you might be a mid of the season, maybe not even until August call up at this point, because the biggest thing is he needs control.
All right, he needs control. That's what we're looking for. If we can find it in the minors, Michael Kopech could make an impact in the second half. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, Greg Sauce, another hour FST. Before we hit OT, stick around. More on the way right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, live with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As I mentioned, it's FST, Corey Parson, Jake Seeley. I am Greg Sausman. What's up, CP?
Yo, I got to find it on Instagram.
Sounds about
right.
Have
you seen Saquon Barkley's fiance?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
We saw it downstairs. You're right. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Pregnant fiance.
Yes, she's pregnant. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Jake, have you seen her?
Yes.
Jake saw it too?
Frank and I.
Do you have her so I can send Jake to see her?
I will find it.
Okay, find it, Jake. This right here. And this is not even my style. You feel what I'm saying?
My style.
Yeah, it is more your style. But when I saw it, I thought of you when I saw it. I also thought of how lucky Saquon Barkley is. And I thought of you, Greg. And I was like, this is Greg's style right here. But this right here, I can definitely get with. Shout out to Saquon Barkley. He's doing it real big.
Everything's good for Saquon.
Everything's going good for Saquon Barkley right now. So, you know, shout out to him. Saquon Barkley from the Boogie Down Bronx.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So there's your girl.
What's her name?
I don't know. Should I say it out loud?
Huh?
I guess I could say it out loud, right?
Yeah, everybody don't. Nobody. Everybody.
Brent Musburger.
Huh?
Yeah, I guess right.
You're not Brent Musburger.
Yeah, remember that, Jake?
So
just don't drool while you're doing it.
I'm not Corey either.
No, you missed what I said. I was saying not like Musburger.
I heard you.
It's
Anna Congdon.
Yeah, Anna Congdon.
Yes.
Look her up, Jake. Anna, C-O-N.
She's not going to be Jake's type either.
Oh, I know Jake's going to like her.
Really?
Jake's going to like her, yeah.
I like her.
Uh-huh. Look at this. She got blue eyes like Jake. They could be a match made in heaven.
Probably not. She's pregnant with Saquon's child.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you think when she got pregnant? Yes.
You can't afford to say that.
Not?
I don't think so. No, Jake?
No.
Really?
Really?
Huh. I find that interesting. Hmm. I really don't see nobody who would turn.
Look at this. He's wearing a Michigan State.
Hey, why is he wearing? That's a rival school.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. I'm a face man, and I'm not a huge fan of her face.
Okay.
I think her face is amazing. And like I said, this is not really my type. You know,
it's Greg's type.
Huh? Yeah. All right, well, whatever.
It is what it is. You know what I'm really surprised you haven't done yet?
What?
I'm going to say that off the air.
Okay.
I'm going to say that off. I'm
glad you said that.
I'm just going to be, try to be polite.
Have you seen this picture right here on the internet?
Which one?
From when Bernie Sanders visited the Dodgers.
He's got a better grip than Scott.
Yes, he does. Chelsea.
He does, though.
Bernie Sanders better in the batting
cage. He does. Look, the hands are closer together.
Yeah, look at that. So this is Bernie Sanders and Yasiel Puig, right?
You got better grip than Yasiel Puig.
Now, this is Bernie Sanders and Yasiel Puig. Yasiel right. Puig will end up on a Greg fantasy team this weekend.
No. he will not. You know, if Bernie Sanders was pregnant. If Bernie Sanders was president. The Dodgers would be moving back to Brooklyn. He's like, number one mission, we're going back to Brooklyn.
I can see that.
100%. 100%. All right, we are taking a break. We'll come back. A lot more baseball to talk about with Jay. We got drafts coming up. I need help, to be honest with you. Yeah. We got a lot more fun stuff to talk about with Corey, too. It's going to be a fun next hour. Stick around. More coming your way right after this.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable. Whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Scotty doesn't know. Who did you talk about the Spice Girls yesterday, by the way, Corey?
Yeah, we were talking about the Spice Girls and making a comeback.
I heard that.
Yeah, Spice Girls is making a comeback, so they might be at Madison Square Garden.
You gonna go?
I'm not going, Greg, because I don't do cougars.
Not even Victoria Beckham?
Fabuloso. I'll just leave it at that. The kitchen should clean up Fabuloso, and then we got to get off of this.
All right, let's get off this. I'll talk some baseball, and then you'll find, some. I'm sure
something. I'll find something on the internet to talk about.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that. Sticking with the White Sox here, Jiggy. Jose Abreu strained his hamstring. It's supposed to be minor for the White Sox, but we are now literally 8 days away from opening day. Are you concerned about Jose Abreu?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
It's very simple. No, I'm not.
All right,
not
but all. a hamstring strain now does scare me a little. They believe it's minor. I assume an MRI is to come. I still think there has to be a little bit of concern.
No, this is look. He would be slapped on the 10-day deal if it was the regular season, and we got 8 days. And you're right. I'm not even sure that they opened. They don't even play Thursday, do they? I think they're one of the teams that plays that day.
I thought everybody played Thursday. No,
does everybody play Thursday? I thought everybody played on Monday. I don't know. This is what happens when you stupidly start your season on a Thursday. I don't know what the hell they're doing this year with this nonsense. It's aggravating.
I don't know. I thought you'd.
Everybody does play on Thursday. This is dumb.
Why is it dumb?
Because it's a Thursday. Baseball's supposed to start on Sunday and Monday, like it always has.
Well, it hasn't always started on Sunday and Monday. Just in recent years, it started on Sunday and Monday. So now it's Thursday.
More than just recent years.
Now it's Thursday.
For quite a hell of a long time.
Does it bother you, Corey, baseball starting on Thursday?
I don't care. Hey, dude, I wonder this Anaconda, Saquon Barkley's piece right here.
Yes.
I wonder if all the co-eds at State College look like this.
They don't.
No?
I know plenty of co-eds from State College.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
And
they don't all look like that.
Oh, well. If you was to give the co-eds at State College a ranking from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest.
Sure.
Where would State College come in at?
Yeah, honestly, 5 or 6.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's good-looking girls everywhere, yeah. I think.
Her crew right here yes. Seem to be fine with me.
I'm not saying there's not crews of women that are that are fine, but you know.
Yeah, all right, cool. I just was wondering because I don't.
Why don't you ask Jacob at Old Dominion?
Jake, how the co-eds at Old Dominion?
1 to 10.
1 to 10. 1 being lowest, 10 being the highest.
I haven't been there in like 10 years, dude.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. Right. 10 years ago, you can answer the question.
Yeah, 10 years ago, how were they?
3.
Oh wow, Jake's low on them.
Oh my goodness gracious. I'd say, like, just to bring myself into it, the Maryland It'd probably be equal to State College, probably.
Okay, Maryland and State College about the same.
Yeah.
I tell you where they got them at.
Yeah.
It was the one that the one that come to my mind right now. It's FSU.
Oh yeah.
Florida State.
Jen's third year.
Yeah, you go. Florida State is up.
And Lana and CJ Perry, Jake. She went, Lana Rusev's wife.
Jake doesn't seem like he's interested in this conversation.
She went to Florida State as well.
Florida State.
She's friends with Jen Sturger.
What clued you in, Corey?
Huh?
I said, what clued you in?
You not speaking? Oh, boy. What about any schools up here in New York that's tough? You know
it's
what I'm saying?
Because it's snowing. Cold, yeah. Mm-hmm. We are on the same page there. Indeed.
All right.
I've come around, Jake, on something that you're in on. I've come around. After kind of looking at some rankings and whatnot, I'm in. And that's on David Price.
Hey. There's more. Is that the end of your setup? I mean, usually you go into more. That's what I was waiting for you to...
Well, ultimately, ever since he started pitching this spring, he's looked pretty good. Obviously, he's David Price, and I don't think he just lost it like he did last year. I think it took a major adjustment to Boston.
He didn't really lose it last year.
I think it took a major... He was injured. But I think it takes a major adjustment to Boston, and I think now that we are in year three of that, the adjustment has been made.
I don't even think it's that much. The fact that if you look at his numbers, when he pitched, he was fine. It's just about being healthy. And that's just the biggest thing. That's your concern with David Price is the number of innings, the number at like 200-plus, I mean, big-time 200-plus innings for the most of his career. And it's just the concern of did he hit the wall like Felix Hernandez and fall off a cliff. And that's what you're worried about. But if you looked at it while he was healthy last year, he was still David Price. I actually even haven't projected for worse numbers ERA-wise than he did last year. And that still puts David Price inside my top 25 pitcher. So even a conservative route, David Price, I think, is being overlooked. And it's an understandable concern, especially when we have Felix Hernandez fresh in our minds for the last two seasons, is nobody wants to be left holding that pitcher on their team and just getting the worst of it. But I think David Price still has more left. You saw it, like I said, last year, even if you only get 160 innings out of them, they're going to be top 25, 160 innings.
What are the so there you go. Projections for David Price, who it's going where in drafts? Let me look. And I'll look at the NFBC. I know you don't care about that, but I'll look at the NFBC. And David Price is going at number 35. All right, so he's the 35th pitcher off the board. Would you rather have David Price or Shohei Ohtani?
That's a toss-up for me.
Okay, so that's close.
I'll go with Ohtani on the potential. David Price, on average, outside of the NFBC, is going as the 28th pitcher off the board.
What round do you think Ohtani... What round? If I want Ohtani, do I have to draft him in?
I have six.
Six, you think? Jake?
15.
I'm actually looking right now. He's 22nd off the board, 81st overall, so there you go. Seven.
Yeah, so you're pretty close, Corey. Mm-hmm. You're pretty close.
But no, six, Corey's probably right, is the fact that if you want to make sure you get him, probably got to get him to six. You might actually be able to get him to seventh or eighth now with how bad he's been in the spring.
Should I? But hasn't changed your opinion on him, right?
I've moved him down a little bit.
You have.
Yeah, not much. I had him inside the top 20, and now I have him at 20. Or I had him actually close to the top 15, right around Robbie Ray and Carlos Martinez. Now I have him down by Rich Hill and David Price. Actually,
interesting. All right, so that's actually interesting. So you have dropped him a little bit because of the rough spring. Okay.
Yeah. Look, the biggest thing is usually his pitchers come over and dominate because nobody's ready adapted to them.
Totally.
And if she's struggling, I don't know if he's struggling with the strike zone over here being different. I don't imagine it can't be because it's supposed to be the strike zone. But we all see, like, umpires any given week always have a different strike zone. Sometimes, I can't think of his name. I was just about to say it. Now I can't think of it. But he calls strikes like a foot off the plate, which infuriates batters all the time. But, like, it's just maybe he's getting used to that. Maybe it's just he doesn't have the stuff. And that's the concern that's in the back of my mind is maybe his stuff isn't going to translate. This wouldn't be the first time Hideki Arabu, who the stuff doesn't translate.
Well, I mean, you're also playing all the games in the hot Arizona air right now. I don't know. Maybe.
Something no, like I'm that. Not worried about that because then let's talk about the fact of what he's going to be facing for most of the year. It's going to be pretty worrisome lineups, and he plays in a lot of hot weather areas.
Well, I guess. I mean, Seattle's kind of cold. Yeah, I guess Los Angeles.
I suppose
they have a
worrisome lineup. It's definitely not a weak lineup out there.
Nando, why don't you turn your mic on? Because Nando has some interesting theories here. Nando, good morning.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
What's happening?
What's up, man?
I just want to let you know that if you go to Baseball Reference and you go to Ohtani's page, up in the top, there's that 2018 spring stats line. All the way to the right, there's a number that they have. It's the opponent's rank for spring training, and it tells you if the – it's 1 to 10 scale, 10 being the hardest, 1 being the easiest. So if he's sitting on like an 8-point whatever, I don't have it in front of me.
7.8.
That's a decent – that means he's been facing like decent people.
Okay,
so
it's
basically a measure to tell you if he's been facing scrubs and these numbers are inflated because of that, or if he's actually been facing major league quality. It's great. I don't know why they hide it like that. They should have that highlighted and in bold, but – yeah, there you go. Just a little Otani thing for you. He's actually been facing decent people.
Well, 7.8 actually says he's... So, basically, 10 is MLB, full-time major leaguer. 8 is AAA, 7 is AA. He's basically been facing AAA, that means.
Well, that's not as good. I don't look at the key. They might have changed the key. I got to go back to switching the show.
That is very valuable, but at the same time, I'm looking right now. His ERA is 27, and his whip is 4.12 so far.
That's horrible.
People are hitting 529 off of him.
Oh, wait a minute. I was looking at him as a hitter, I think. Hold on. Oh, no, it's 7.9. Never mind. Yeah, that's not so good.
He's still the biggest thing, training.
Three home runs in 2 2/3 innings.
All right, so he struggled a little. He struggled. I don't know, you know. Shohei Ohtani. Corey, is he on your team?
No, I don't. No. I like dudes
veterans.
That I can.
You're a veteran guy.
Yeah, I like dudes that I can know what I'm going to get from them year in and year out. I don't really play the upside game in baseball.
All right, there's a guy I want to mention that comes from your Washington Nationals.
Oh, my gosh.
That I want to bring up. Who's a guy that has done it year in and year out, and he's got to be like 74 years old right now. And he's a name that I haven't even like considered drafting, but
Ryan Zimmerman?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was going over Florio's rankings, and like Ryan Zimmerman was on the rankings. I'm like, oh yeah, he still exists.
Yeah. He's boring. You feel what I'm saying?
That's what you like.
You worry about injuries with Zimmerman, though.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah. if he put it together and give you 150 games, you know he's gonna ball out. But that's just like it's highly unlikely.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break. I'm very interested in hearing Jake's thoughts when it comes to Ryan Zimmerman, because you know Jake has thoughts on players like Ryan Zimmerman. Some Spice Girls for our outro chord.
Oh, look at that. Perfect.
Ravona, on the game.
He's on top of his thing
on top
today.
Of it today. I love it. Absolutely. More Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
What's up, everybody? I'm Gabriel Moranci.
And I'm Cam Stewart.
Inviting you to join us weekdays at 4 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as we break down all the big games on a nightly basis. The Tony Cincotta joins us. I think he's cheating on his domestic partner, but they don't need to know, and neither does yours. Forget about bowling shoes. We're all about winners. Game Time Decisions Radio with Red Heat and Rage. Weekdays at 4 on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Jeff. Look, I'm just a skeleton. I don't have an ACL anymore, but I still like to know what it means when one of my fantasy players sprains his. That's why I use the Inside Injuries app. It was created by real doctors, so you're getting information directly from people who have seen, touched, and operated on actual ACLs. Take it from me, a skeleton. If you aren't using it, you might as well just be guessing. Download the free app today. Unlock the secrets of injury analysis.
BSO Live.
The only thing that matters is the guarantee. Richard Sherman was, 3 years, $39 million. That's a 1 year, $8 million deal. That's the real deal. That's the only part that's guaranteed. All the other stuff is, if he does this or does that or the team option and all of this stuff. Hell, even Drew Brees, they're like, 2 years, $50 million. Sounds good, but it's really 1 year, $25 million. And then after the next year, they say, Drew, you're 7 years old. We want to move on. He has no leverage with that.
Find the BSO Live podcast on blacksportsonline.com or on any popular podcast provider.
Join the family at Modell's Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Going for the green with Daily Roto.
Going into group five, we've got Hideki Matsuyama, Patrick Cantlay, Cameron Smith, and Yasuko Miyazato. I'm really excited about Hideki at the Masters. My early look at the Masters, I'm kind of feeling like Hideki could be that guy for me, not carrying a whole ton of. For this week specifically, the difficult part with using Hideki in this group is just that we like Patrick Cantlay quite a bit, have him nearly as high of odds as Hideki to come out of this group.
Listen live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at DKMS.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
This is Lar Michaels of CreativeSports.com and host of the Tout Wars Hour on the Fantasy Sports Network. Join Justin Mason and me at our new time, Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, as we break down the fantasy games you love with the biggest names in the industry. Plus, starting with the 2018 baseball season, we'll review the Tout Wars Fab Bits live on the show, hours before your league's waiver deadline. So join Justin, Lord Zola, and special guests every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for the most in your fantasy sports world.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're back here.
Excuse me. Somebody put the helmets behind my chair.
Yeah, we changed it around a little bit.
I thought your homeboy did that from, what's homeboy's name?
Matt rugby. McCarthy. Yeah, Matt McCarthy. Good program. I like rugby wrap-up.
I don't know anything about rugby, but I will say this. Matt McCarthy is a very good broadcaster.
There you go.
There you go. Shout out to Matt McCarthy.
Every 3 minutes, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to dkms.org/fncsy today and sign up online to register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each one of your cheeks, send it back to them, and that is it. You are done. DKMS will then try and match you up with the person in need of a donation. The process is easy, and best of all, you actually can save someone's life. Not metaphorically. Quite literally. Check out dkms.org/fntsy to see how you can help. All right. I wanted to get into this a little bit. Did you see Andrew Marchand in the New York Post, Corey?
Now, he's with the Post now?
So he went from being a Yankee beat reporter to being a baseball beat reporter for ESPN, and now is basically like Phil Mushnick in the Post. Not as crazy, but like covers like TV and stuff.
All right. I did not know this.
Mm-hmm. So Marchand works for the Post now, and he wrote an article. Talking about like Sunday night baseball and A-Rod and whatnot.
Yeah.
And how A-Rod is now the color commentator for Sunday night baseball.
I think that's brilliant. A-Rod's good in the boo-boo.
But still like kind of works for the Yankees as an advisor.
Okay.
And as a baseball fan, does that bother you? I know you're not exactly someone who's going to watch a lot of Sunday night baseball. I understand that. But I mean, it can apply to anywhere. Does that bother you that A-Rod gets a check from the Yankees? We'll be certainly broadcasting plenty of Yankee games this year. Does that bother you?
No, it does not. I don't have a problem with that. I think A-Rod is the type of dude. I don't think his bias with the organization will affect his broadcast situation. And I really like the trajectory. Alex Rodriguez went from being one of the most hated men in sports to now he's becoming one of the most liked men in sports.
So that was the other thing, Jake, and I thought that was actually crazy, right? Because A-Rod went from this lying, cheating SOB, both in his professional life and his personal life, and tried suing everybody for saying they're lying about him when it was all true. Tried suing the world. Then when he realized, oh, crap, he dropped the lawsuit. And now, instead of being this vilified ex-player, almost like a Barry Bonds or a Roger Clemens are vilified, Alex Rodriguez is a entrepreneur. He is dating J-Lo. He went from the idiot that was pouring popcorn into Cameron Diaz's mouth to dating J-Lo and taking selfies, and everybody loves A-Rod. And now he's a lead broadcaster on ESPN. He's a lead guy in the booth on Fox. I've never seen a turnaround like this.
LeBron James.
How is that like LeBron James?
I'll get to LeBron James in a second, because I don't think it's like LeBron either.
What do you mean? When LeBron James first left Cleveland, he was despised.
I want to get Jake's thoughts on A-Rod before I get into LeBron. What do you think about A-Rod?
I don't see why people hate him, honestly. The fact is, you know, this is, well, for one thing, this just tells you what charisma, good looks, and being well-spoken can do for you. If you are and you're intelligent, people are going to be attracted to what you offer. And the fact is, he's always had charisma. It's just the fact is, early in their career, he was a little ornery when it came to the media, and that kind of hurt him as well. But the fact is he wasn't any different than half the other people. And just like Barry Bonds has been, just like A-Rod has been, they've been made the face of the PEDs. And the fact is, they're not the only ones. They just happen to be one of the more successful ones. That's why everybody comes after them unjustly, that we're treating somebody who does it successfully worse than we're treating somebody who does it unsuccessfully. The fact is, if you do it, you're wrong, period. It shouldn't be just because you hit 7 home runs, you get more of the blame than anybody else does. You just happen to be more in the face. It's being in the limelight. It's not fair, but I understand why people blame them more. But the fact is, I never had that big of a problem with Alex Rodriguez. I was one of the bigger supporters behind him. I thought he caught too much flack for it, as I said. He obviously didn't help his cause, which, as I mentioned, because he's always had that kind of headbutting with the media. But now that he's in the media portion of it, and he is a very intelligent, one of the most intelligent baseball players we've seen, and now he's bringing that to the booth and able to break down the game. It's just like anybody. You know, you put the booth in front of their mic in front of the people inside the booth when they break down football or whether it's basketball. If you're intelligent, you can break it down. That's why people love Tony Romo. He's bringing stuff and analysis that we haven't generally seen before, and he's telling it like it is. And Alan Rodriguez is doing the same thing. That's why people are starting to gravitate back to him.
I think... obviously, the transformation into the media and people seeing him not as like a butthole, it's really helped Alex Rodriguez a lot. Dating Jennifer Lopez has helped Alex Rodriguez a lot because now he's in celebrities. You know, he's always been a celebrity athlete, but now he's in that TMZ world and stuff like that. But
what's amazing to me is it's what he always wanted, right? Like, he got everything he always wanted.
Well, Alex Rodriguez.
So. I understand that. Yeah. But even when he was still Alex Rodriguez, right? Like, he wanted this adulation that Derek Jeter got.
Yeah.
And he never got it.
Yeah.
And now, after his career is over, not when he was on the field. Only after his career is over,
you know what happened.
Beloved.
This is what happened. This is when it started to flip for Alex Rodriguez. That last year with the Yankees,
when he was good,
when he was good, and they wouldn't play him. Remember how they came back and they wouldn't play him? They would sit him and stuff like that.
That was literally the last year.
Yeah, and then they flipped. Then the narrative on him flipped because now it was like, wait a minute, y'all signed him to this contract. Give him his money. Don't do this to him. The Yankees at that point. The narrative flipped on him, and they began to make people like Alex Rodriguez again. Then when he got out of baseball and he had his first shot in the booth, it just took off from there.
It did. It's just amazing to me that he was finally able to get everything he wanted after leaving, not the game, but leaving the field. And it's almost like, not him and Jeter have reversed, but people don't like Derek Jeter anymore.
No, now Derek Jeter's the bad guy. You feel what I'm saying?
He doesn't care.
Yeah, oh, no, Derek Jeter don't care. Small, you know what I mean?
Give him his money and, you know.
Yeah, Derek Jeter don't care. He ruined the baseball team down there. You know what I'm saying? Derek Jeter don't.
No.
Derek Jeter's, he's doing Derek Jeter things. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to A-Rod. It's amazing how those two lifestyles have flipped.
Sure.
Now, when LeBron was hated when he left Cleveland. After the decision, LeBron was hated. Every stadium, every arena he would go to, he was being booed, and now he's one of the most popular men in sports history.
It's actually amazing. So the difference, obviously, is one player was on the field, one player was off.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to LeBron, he was the most hated player in any sport. I will 1,000% agree with that. Like, I watched every Heat game begging for that team to lose.
Yeah, you wanted them to lose.
When he went to the finals against the Mavericks, I watched every minute begging them to lose. When Mo Williams refused to slap LeBron's hand when he went back to Cleveland, I loved it.
Yeah.
Right? I loved every second of that.
They had, when he went back to Cleveland that first year, and they had the cops at the arena, like around the court and stuff like that. It's like you wanted the fans to get on the court and then come after
you him. Wanted Cleveland to win and then like rush the court in excitement, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is what you were hoping for. And he turned the narrative around because the difference between him and A-Rod was, like I said, the turnaround happened off the field. But Jake, what was different about LeBron was people fell back in love with LeBron because of how damn good he was.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you had to just embrace greatness. And when you realize that, you're like, listen.
When the Heat, I think it was that second year in Miami, and they went on that 22-game winning streak.
I think it was more, but yeah.
It was 23 or something like that?
I thought it was more, yeah.
So then they went on that insane winning streak.
Yeah.
That's when it was like, oh, boy. You know what I mean? Like, all right, here we go. Yeah, you're the best.
But you just had to recognize, like, all right, the dude wanted to play with his friends. It's free agency. Do what you want. You play with his friends. And I thought you kind of just, we got a little bit of we had to appreciate LeBron again. Yeah. We appreciate how good he was. And he went back to Cleveland. Everyone was like, oh, my God, this guy is awesome.
And when he went back to Cleveland, it was. And then when they won that championship,
yep.
it was like, crown him. You know what
crown I mean? Crown him. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the difference of LeBron. You said you didn't see it with LeBron, Jake, that only one city hated him. Did you not feel that passionate about LeBron when he went to Miami the first time?
No, I said I don't see it being the same reason.
Okay.
I said he left the city. It was a different thing. I said, no, he definitely deserved the heat. He definitely deserved the heat, as in the heat that he got, the hate that he got. No question about it. I actually don't think I disagree a little bit, and I don't think a lot of it went away until he went back to Cleveland. I know a lot of people, myself included, who never liked him when he was with the Heat and never said, oh, he's playing so great, I have to respect him for that decision now. No, I just, I hate the decision when it happened. I hate what it created in the NBA. And I'm not saying that the big three, because the Celtics technically are the ones that started it.
Sure.
But he was the one that went to this fashion, had to sit down, pulled somebody else with him, and Chris Bosh went there to create it. And it was the biggest argument at the time was what I was saying too, is if you're really the best in the league, do it with the team that you're with. Do it like Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and everybody before you, the team. Like, don't jump to a team and try to create a, like, dynasty. They just do it where you are and try to build something around you. But that's all being said, is like, that's why people hated him. And I don't think a lot of it went away until he went back to Cleveland.
And that's and
he has a chance to do it again this year. Listen, the Miami Heat teams, I don't think Chris Bosh was the player that he had. I don't think Chris Bosh was as good as we thought Chris Bosh was. Obviously, Dwayne Wade, great. Dwayne Wade was on the back end of his career when LeBron got there. And
no, he wasn't.
When LeBron, how old was he? Wasn't not
Dwayne. Dwayne Wade was still in the middle of his prime.
Okay.
I agree with that.
All right. So all right, you can say that. But now you look at what he's doing right now in the Eastern Conference. They're still the favorites to come out the East this year.
Sure.
Can you go right there? Mm-hmm. He's the best. You know, he went to the finals with Matthew Dellavedova. You know what I'm saying? And then
I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto knocks him off this year.
It's going to be – that's the only team I think that can do it. I think they'll beat Boston.
Celtics?
I think they'll beat Boston.
Will Ty Lue be back for it?
That's interesting with Ty Lue. I don't know, man. He's pretty – he's not doing well at all.
Yeah. I know you were talking a little bit about this yesterday, Corey. What do you think the deal is with that?
With Ty Lue?
Yeah.
He's sick. I don't know what it is. You know, he's not doing well. Whatever it is, whatever illness he has is keeping him from sleeping.
Yeah.
So that sucks. So now he's sick and he's tired, which my mother has been telling me about me. I'm sick and tired of you. But I think this is a different kind of sick and tired.
Probably so.
What up?
Do you think LeBron has anything to do with it?
Nah, I don't think so.
No?
I mean, when you coach LeBron James, it's probably very stressful. You know what I'm saying? The level
pressure.
Of athlete, the pressure that's put on the situation. And then LeBron is not like the kind of athlete that's going to be like, take it easy on the head coach.
Do you think, are you surprised, speaking of LeBron head coaches, that David Blatt never resurfaced anywhere?
I'm not surprised.
Because I am. Right, like Mike Brown resurfaced like seven different times,
mm-hmm.
and he went back to Cleveland, right? Like the Lakers and Golden State, and David Blatt like had to go leave the country to find out.
Yeah, he coached the Ball Boys in Lithuania.
But isn't that a surprise? Though? No,
I just don't. I kind of think, where did Blatt come from anyway?
Israel.
I didn't know that. He coached over there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. More on the way. Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
Jake, I just realized, going over my show notes, I never did get to you and get your thoughts on Ryan Zimmerman. Yeah, I got Corey's. Oh, okay. Sorry. You have something else you'd like to bring up?
I was going to tell you what we were talking about in the break. He flooded the market. He was in everything for like 4 years in a row.
Every movie ever.
Every movie that came out had a minute, and then he just became like a megastar.
Was it ever Tyler Perry movie? Is that what it was?
No, God, no.
We're talking about Kevin Hart, Jake, and how Kevin Hart became famous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was literally trying to remember, like, what made Kevin Hart famous. I don't know.
Stand up?
But it was.
I don't think it was a stand-up. It was the fact that every movie that came out, he was in it.
No, he wasn't in those movies until he already had like three stand-ups.
Yeah, he had those, but then remember his Soul Plane was horrible.
And then, that's what I'm saying.
Most of these movies are.
He became famous. People were showing up in the droves to like tens of thousands to his stand up before they were in his movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, he sell out arena. He sold out the Link. He had 80,000 people in the Link. That's crazy.
And then he tried to steal a Super Bowl trophy.
He tried to steal a Super Bowl trophy, yeah.
You know what's crazy? I had a Comedy Central the other night that I found out like Daniel Tosh is still on TV.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Did you know that, Jake?
Yeah, he's still doing Tosh.0.
That seems so irrelevant now.
It's I don't know. I haven't watched it in years. I stopped watching it. Probably about after the third season, because it was funny at first, but then he ran out a lot of the videos and he went way down the road. Like, he just got more and more and more off the wall and grotesque and yeah.
Yeah, probably. That makes sense.
Shock value, basically.
Yeah, all right. Before we continue, I do want to get your thoughts on Ryan Zimmerman, though, a player that I haven't asked anybody about all spring until I asked Corey about it an hour ago. What do you think of Ryan Zimmerman this year?
Is Ryan Zimmerman? I'm not that excited for him. I'll get him if I get him. If I don't, I don't. I think that's why you haven't asked, because nobody really cares. He's Ryan Zimmerman. It's just like, all right, pencil him in for what he's going to do. Nothing too exciting here.
Well, I mean, I haven't asked because like, I never really wanted him. But when you look at the numbers last year, he has this like renaissance year, right? Like Zimmerman, who really is part of that David Wright class many years ago, many moons ago. He's currently 33 years old. Last year, finally plays in 140 games. The first time he's done that since 2013. 36 homers, 108 RBIs, 90 runs scored, averages over 300. You know, this
none
is like...
that's happening again.
You don't think none of that's happening again?
No.
How come?
Because that's not who he is. That is just that's going to be the anomaly on his career. He's not a 35 home run hitter. He's not going to hit 300. He's kind of somebody who hits 270, 280, 25 to 30 home runs if he plays 140 games, which is, that's the other part. This is the first time, as you said, in years. I would put the under on every single one of those numbers and big money on every single one of those numbers.
Okay. All right. I just thought that maybe, you know, maybe as the game has changed, his swing changed. I don't know.
Yeah, Ryan Zimmerman is just great season for him. Great for the fact that he had it, but it's kind of a renaissance season. I say 70, 80, 25 is what I have.
70, 80, 25.
How many games played?
I don't do games played. I do at bats. I have 463 at bats.
There you go, right there.
That's not terrible. Right?
I never said it was terrible. He's somebody that I want as my corner infielder. Like I said, if he's there, whoop de doo. If he's not, oh well, I don't really care.
So a guy that Florio and Frank said that about yesterday is Chris Taylor. Did you say the same thing? If he's there, oh well, or you want Chris Taylor?
No, I believe in Chris Taylor, because the biggest thing is Lorne Michaels over the weekend brought it up and said it is that he noticed something that nobody else really did, and Chris Taylor was actually really excited when he told him that he noticed it, as he added a leg kick for his timing. And the added leg kick is the big reason why he had a difference. It's not just his plate approach. There's a plate approach plus the leg kick, and that's why Chris Taylor had his breakout year. I fully believe, as in the Chris Taylor, this is going to be the new Chris Taylor. So if I can get him on my team, plus you get somebody who has second base and outfield eligibility, I definitely want him on my team.
What round do you have to take Chris Taylor in?
I don't know. I don't know ADPs off the top of my head.
All right. What do you want Chris Taylor as? How's that? You want him as a starting second baseman? Is that what you want him as?
Yeah, I would definitely take him as a starting second baseman.
Would he be a...
He's going 108 overall.
If I put him in the outfield, what is he, my third outfielder, you think?
Ideally.
Okay.
I have him at 28 in outfield.
So he's ideally your third outfielder. All right. Yeah. Rank these three guys for me. Cameron Maybin, Lewis Brinson, and Malik Smith.
No.
That's not very nice.
Not going to rank them for you. I'll go...
check the link.
There you go.
I don't want to check the link.
I'll rank them... say them again.
Cameron Maybin, Lewis Brinson, 62. Malik Smith.
I'm going to go Malik Smith, Maybin, and Brinson.
How come?
Because you asked me to rank them.
All right. Fair enough. Jake, I will ask again. Please rank those three players.
No.
Can't just say no. I'm trying to like...
No, Jake, you got to give Jake the time to get to where the players are ranked in his rankings. So you see what I'm saying? That's what he's doing.
But I don't need I don't need the exact rankings. I want to know how he ranks those three players.
Maybe he can't just rattle them off the top of his head like that.
It might be close. Yeah. I don't have all 500 players off the top of my head. Thank you, Corey. That's why I checked the link.
He doesn't do. He doesn't. See, you have to do. If you do rankings, you would understand this. You feel what I'm saying?
Hold on, Corey. You say that. What does that look like to you, huh?
Those are rankings.
Those are rankings.
Those are the Sussman rankings.
And they are. They're real.
Do you think you can just rattle off all 500 players?
Probably.
Cameron Maybin 62, Malik Smith 78, Lewis Brinson 88.
All right. So you rank him Maybin, Smith, Brinson.
Okay.
Interesting. Because I've been going back and forth. Obviously, it's whoever bats leadoff in Miami is the one you want between Brinson and Maybin. Malik Smith's got to
I don't even care about leadoff. Nobody talks about Cameron Maybin. Maybin's wildly underrated. How many people did what he did last year? It's a handful. Somebody was talking. I think Chris Towers was the one from CBS talking about it on Twitter the other day. The fact that nobody realizes what Cameron Maybin did last year.
Yeah, but Cameron Maybin came off the DL and was like stole 37 bases in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get traded, then they really played all that much, but other than that.
He's got the pop and the speed. Malik Smith has speed only. Lewis Brinson has both, but Lewis Brinson's also a little bit raw and questionable playing time.
But don't you kind of like that he's, I mean, raw and he can kind of grow into something? Like, we know what Cameron Maybin is, you're right, but at 30 years old, or 31 next week, Maybin, a career, what, 250 hitter? You know, I kind of like the upside of Brinson.
Lewis Brinson needs to do that first.
It's true, but I think they might give Brinson a chance up top.
They'll give him a chance, and whether or not he produces there, he's yet to be seen. I'll take Cameron Maybin because everybody wants to draft Brinson in front of Maybin, but Maybin's a better player.
It was a strikeout.
As of today.
Yeah, I get it. As of today. We were talking about the NBA before, Corey. Kyrie Irving going to be out for another week, man, with his knee. I know you said you like the Cavs over Boston. Is that one of the reasons?
It adds to that. I just think like LeBron is just going to beat them again this year. See, now the thing with this Irvin thing is interesting to me because they're saying is soreness in the knee, but they also said that he's going to need surgery and he may need surgery.
Oh, I didn't see that
in the off season.
I didn't see that.
So he may need surgery in the off season. He probably needs surgery now. So I think it's interesting to see how this thing with Kyrie Irving is going to play out. That game last night. That the fact that they won that game last night is why Oklahoma City is probably going to be a first round exit in the NBA in the upcoming NBA playoffs. They had them beat. Like, it was to the point where I had like literally turned my back on the game and was on the computer not paying no attention. And the next thing I know, I hear the crowd going crazy, and I look up and Boston got a 1-point lead. Carmelo Anthony and Paul George missing free throws down the stretch. The way Westbrook plays, the way Melo plays, I think they can get knocked off in the first round. OKC, no way they should have lost that game last night. And the West is real tough this year.
It's real tight. You had a big win for the Timberwolves last night as the T-Wolves try to guarantee themselves a playoff spot without Jimmy Butler, which has totally changed the dynamic of this team. They beat the Clippers in massive win. They're currently 2.5 games up on the Nuggets with a 9 spot right now.
Yeah, and see, I want the T-Wolves to get in because the T-Wolves got some fight in them. They like to thug it out. So get up to that 7th seed, and we see T-Wolves Warriors. I'm cool with that. Right now, Dubs is matched up against, I believe,
the T-Wolves.
The T-Wolves?
Mm-hmm. Right That's now, it's Jazz night. Rockets. I want to flip-flop those.
Jazz Rockets?
I want Jazz Warriors and then Rockets T-Wolves.
Oh, I don't want Jazz Warriors. I don't want Jazz Warriors. The
Jazz, man, once again, the hottest team in the NBA, won 9 in a row before losing last night. I mean, it's unbelievable what the Jazz have done in the second half.
Yeah, the Jazz have played real well in the second half.
Lakers have been unbelievable in the second half.
Yes, Lonzo Ball is really having a... Lonzo Ball might be the rookie of the year.
I think Donovan Mitchell will be the rookie.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ben Simmons, too. Well, Ben Simmons does count. This counts as a rookie season. Ben Simmons will be the rookie of the year. But Lonzo Ball has really turned it around. He's playing very well, and that Laker team is starting to come together. So when if they get Braun out there next year, then they'll really be rocking and rolling. So, but I you know, another dangerous team in the West is Portland. They lost to Houston last night, but it was a real like playoff atmosphere. They went down to the wire. That Portland team is real good too, but right now Houston's the best team in the league hands down.
57-14.
Houston is the best regular season team. You know how I feel about Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul's a sucker, but I would like to see them in the Warriors and the Rockets is going to be an amazing series if those two teams make it to the Western Conference Finals.
You've said before that this is different for the Raptors, is it?
Yeah, the Raptors look like they're ready. And one thing about the Raptors is when they get when they're home and you have that entire city behind them,
country behind them,
their country behind them. They have one of the most passionate fan bases in sports.
And Drake.
And so they look like a different team this year. They're getting it done. I like their head coach a lot. So I think Toronto is going to be hell to play for Cleveland. But I still think LeBron drags his team to the finals.
Jake, is it one of those things where it's just like you got to just keep saying LeBron until someone dethrones LeBron?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Do you like Boston, Toronto better?
I don't know enough.
No. Jake hasn't been watching.
He
doesn't watch basketball this year.
I mean, you know, whatever. You just say, yeah, sure, Boston, whatever.
I'm not gonna lie. No.
Let's see.
Are you gonna get into the playoffs, Jake? When the playoffs start, will you get into it?
Oh, why? So I can watch it for the next 3 months?
Yeah, that's why. It's better than watching regular season baseball. I guarantee you that.
We'll take a break here. We're going to come back.
I'm taking a break for real.
Corey's obviously taking a break, too. I'm going to talk about some wrestling with Jake when we return.
Oh, I was going to do that in the next hour.
Well, you're going away. We'll be back after this.
Fantasy Sports Today.
I look at Oakland, and then you bring in the Dominican Sioux. Like, that's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I don't know why they went and did that, but...
Well, it's not officially they're having him in for an interview.
I mean, Sioux can play.
Yeah.
For a while, he's one of the best defenders in the league.
You can argue make a case that he's still like one of the best defensive tackles in the league, but...
He kind of fits that Raider thing.
Exactly.
He fits that Raider 100%. Thing. Nasty player, you feel what I'm saying?
Albert Haynesworth, too.
Howard Haynesworth was horrible.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're drafting your fantasy team, imagine drafting a real professional team. The Fan Control Football League is bringing fantasy sports in Madden franchise mode to real football field. Fans will scout players, draft rosters, hire coaches, call plays, and more. The FCFL will feature 8 professional teams playing 7-on-7, fast-paced indoor football in a high-tech production studio built for a digital audience. This is the next generation of fantasy football, where fans get rewarded for dominating through the league's proprietary fan token. To learn more about fan token and the FCFL, visit FCFL.io. All right, Jake, last night we saw the return to active competition. My Brian Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan. He was cleared. Basically, how it worked, he went to Dr. Joseph Maroon. He's like, listen, what do I have to do to get cleared? Tell me who I have to see, what I have to do. I need to get cleared. They sent him to doctors all around the country. Every one of them cleared him. Went to Dr. Joe Maroon in Pittsburgh. You're cleared, bruh. And last night, he was cleared, and it certainly set up a match for WrestleMania. It is awesome to see Daniel Bryan active again.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still a little shocked by the bump that he takes at the end, though.
If you watch that back, because I did, I was thinking the exact same thing. I wanted to see what exactly he did. Everything was extremely safe, including the powerbomb on the apron at the end. It's all in that lower back. There's nothing at his head. Like, yeah, he got kicks, and the kicks are like hell. The kicks are like. Whatever, like the super kick barely grazed him. I think it had him in the chest, to be honest with you. The Helluva kick, they hit him in the face, but like that's not exactly hurting your brain in any way. And the power bomb was on his back and nothing in his head. He's totally fine. It was awesome.
It was awesome. It's just I was sitting there cringing a little bit just for the fact that it's his first time back and his first time taking any type of bumps. And that's what they put him through. Honestly, I was cringing when he was running post to post and doing the kicks upside the head because he was almost falling on his own head when he was flipping himself over. So all being said, it's terrific to see him back. I honestly thought the pop was underwhelming. I thought the pop was going to be bigger. Yeah, I thought they were going to go even more nuts than they did.
Oh, I thought the pop was awesome. I thought the pop was huge. I really did. I thought that pop
in
the game was huge.
I expected it to be like deafening. Like he couldn't even talk over it. But, you know, whatever. It's great to see him back because, you know, he had to make the speech and everything like that. And, of course, we get him in WrestleMania. I think that pop might even be bigger.
Do you think the pop – do you think they should have held it until SmackDown?
What, the news?
Yes.
No, because, well, if you wanted the bigger pop, yeah, but not for what they intended, and that was the intended to get ratings.
And I think it worked. Like, I know people that don't watch ever or don't watch weekly, they'll text me that they were watching, you know? So just using that small barometer, it worked. And, like, I know, like, for me, like, Judy wanted to watch the second to last episode of the worst show ever, The Assassination of Gianni Versace on FX. And I was like, I got to watch this Daniel Bryan thing first. And she's like, all right, I get it. So I watched, you know? And then I had to watch the penultimate episode of The Assassination of Gianni Versace.
Oh, what they do. So, I'm sorry to hear that, Craig. Honestly, I kind of hope that they stay with this route, though. I hope they don't have him in a match until WrestleMania.
They won't. We're like 2 weeks away already, you know?
No, so, we're a month away.
Are we? No, we're not a month away, dude. It's like April 7th.
Oh, it's like, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the week after.
No, it's April 7th, 6th.
So we're 3 weeks away.
Yeah, so they're not going to have him a match. Are you crazy? They know that. They know
April 8th.
There you go. April 8th. Next year at MetLife, it's on April 7th. So a lot of tag team matches, by the way. We got Braun in a tag team match. We got Ronda Rousey in a tag team match.
Everything else is in a triple threat match.
Yeah. Very few one-on-one matches this year in Mania.
No, this is just that's Brock and Roman Reigns, and that's about it.
And Shinsuke and AJ. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. The titles.
Yeah. All right. We're done. Coming up next, FSTOT, Jake Seeley. Corey Parson. Now I've covered to the BFFs coming your way at noon, starting pitching today, and we'll be joined by DailyRoto.com's Mike Leone. So stick around for that. Have a fantastic day, everybody, and I will see you later.